Praise the Lord. Amen. Hope you know something about that blood. It's the only thing that washes away sin. I read the testimony of a poor lady who was involved in gross immorality. And after she got saved by the good grace of God, she gave her testimony that after a night of sin, how she would go home and she would try to wash herself clean. And she would say, "I would wash and I would wash and I would wash, but I still felt dirty. No matter how often I wash, no matter how deep I clean, they were still dirty. Until I trusted Jesus as my personal Savior." And she said, "Now I'm clean. I'm clean." Thank God for the cleanness of the blood of Jesus. We're washed pure and white. Isn't it good to be clean?
Amen.
Well, this year on Sunday mornings, we're going to talk about, well, what saith the Scripture. It's not up there now. I want it to be, so if you men would put it up there, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. What saith the Scripture? Thank you. What saith the Scripture? That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 4, in verse number 3. That's a good question, isn't it? What saith the Scripture? See, that's what we need to know. Can I tell you that we're living in a world that fewer and fewer people really know what saith the Scripture? They know what their denomination teaches. They know what their preacher believes, some of it. They know what their parents or the grandparents believe about the Bible and about God and about sin and about family and about the home and even about salvation. But you know, a lot of it doesn't line up with what saith the Scripture. I wonder what your life is based on. So, "Oh, preacher, I believe the Bible." I believe you do. But I'm not asking you to think about your neighbor now as we go through these series of messages on what saith the Scripture. I'm not asking you to think about someone that you know of that's a little off in their doctrine or a little off in this area or a little off on that area. I'm asking you to look into your own heart. As I look into my heart, and let's make sure now, let's make sure that the foundation that we're building on is what saith the Scripture. And not something we heard someone say or read in a book.
Right.
Or that we've adapted over time. Now, it can happen.
Sure.
And I think as we go through this, if you would just be, "Oh, you say, well, it wouldn't happen to me." Well, we're going to talk about you this morning. Because there's some folks that think that they know all that the Bible teaches. Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't. We're all Bible students.
Right.
We're still learning, brethren. And when you get above learning, well, you're in a bad place. Especially when it comes to this book right here. Stay humble. Stay teachable. Let God teach you something. I've been saved for 40 years. God can still teach you something. God used a little child to teach you something. Amen. And so we don't want to get to the place now when we think, when we're discussing what saith the Scriptures. And I'm not being ugly here now. I'm just being straightforward. If we're not careful when we think about people who don't abide by what saith the Scriptures, we'll have other people in mind. What we really need to be doing is examining our own heart and saying, "Now, God, you help me. If I'm off in an area that the Scripture doesn't teach something, but I'm holding on to it, I want to be very careful about this."
Right?
Right? So if I'm off in an area, God, you show me, but I want to see it from the Scriptures. I don't want to hear it from some man's position on something. Right? Yeah. I don't want to go by what some preacher said or some author that I read after what they said and take that as the Scripture if it's not what the Scripture says. What saith the Scripture? I pray to God that you'll just read over that over and over. Romans 4:3. Now, Paul says it again over in Galatians. What saith the Scripture? We're going to see what the Scripture says today. We're going to continue on a thought that we had last week. What saith the Scripture about the Scripture? We're going to look at a lot of things. throughout the course of this year, the Lord willing. What saith the scripture about salvation? Everybody has their own idea these days. Well, preacher, I believe you go to heaven by just being a good person. Well, you'll never find that in the scripture. Well, I believe you need to be baptized to go to heaven. Well, you'll never find that in the scripture.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you can't go to heaven if you're not a Baptist. Well, you'll never find that in the scripture. You see, what saith the scripture? Everybody has their own ideas, it seems like, this day. But I'm going to tell you something. When we leave this life, your idea is not what's going to matter. What saith the scripture?
Amen.
Jesus said that we're going to answer by every word that's written in this book, right here. What saith the scripture? When it comes to sin, I need to know what the scripture says. You need to know what the scripture says. Not what the preacher believes. What saith the scripture about sin? Right?
Yeah.
Sin. What saith the scripture? I know I'm preaching in 2022. People say, well, you know, you mean there's still sin today? Well, it seems like there's fewer and fewer people that believe that there is. But I got to tell you something. God hasn't changed his mind on sin.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I know a lot of Baptists have. A lot of preachers have. But God hasn't. What the scripture said 100 years ago, it still says it today. This book's not changing, brethren.
Amen.
And if it was wrong 100 years ago, it's wrong today.
Amen.
Somebody say amen with me now.
Amen.
What saith the scripture? The scripture has a lot to, about the church. What saith the scripture about the church? What does the Bible say? The church is in the Bible. We're here today because the Bible says so. So I came because I wanted to. Well, I'm glad you wanted to. But if the scripture didn't say it, then listen, you wouldn't want to. There would be no church without the scripture.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to see what the scripture says about the scripture. It's very important. Some people, I'm asking God, I want God to help me. This book, I've been trying to convert to where I don't call this the Bible. Oh, now preacher, you ought to call it the Bible. Well, that's not what the scripture calls it. The scripture calls it the Word of God. Big difference. I notice that men that get more and more liberal in their theology start calling it everything but the Word of God. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
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 That's what the scripture calls it. The scripture calls it the scripture. We've seen in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 3 last week, in verse number 15, it calls it the Holy Scripture.
Right. Amen.
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 The precepts,
right.
Psalm 119.
Yeah.
The testimonies of the Lord. The law of the Lord, Psalm 19.
Yeah.
What saith the Scripture?
Right.
The statutes of the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
The Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Right here it is, brethren.
Amen.
This is the Word of God.
Amen.
What saith the Scriptures about the Word of God? Well, let's see. I'll spend a couple of weeks here. I won't get all of that I want to get out of this passage of Scripture. But James, very interesting character. You know James. James, quite a character. James was one that the Lord appeared to after his resurrection. Not just James, but Peter, and, well, above 500 brethren. James was one that he made a personal appearance to. James was one that God called on to write this book here, this epistle. And he's writing to a predominantly Jewish people with a background that had come out of Judaism, and he's writing unto them, about how you ought to behave as a Christian. Can you believe that? Did God expect us to live a certain way? That's what the Scripture says. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's what the Scripture says. Amen. Having therefore, 2 Corinthians 7:1, these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, that's what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that we ought to behave a certain way. And so James writing about that in chapter number 1, let me give you three things that will help you maybe take in chapter 1 as you look at it, read it, and study it. Number 1, James said, I want you to know that there's a test. When you say you're saved, there's going to be a test, and it's going to come in the form of trials. And in verses 1 through 12, he deals with that, and he sums it up by saying this in verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, you see, these saved folks, these folks that are saved in the grace of God, you that are saved, he said, when you are tried, he said, you will receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised of them that love him. Can you still say I love God even after you're tried? James said, if you have received Jesus, you can. Trials. Number 2, temptations. Look in verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. See, here's some marks that the scripture says that will be on a Christian. A Christian will come through trials better, not bitter. That's what God, listen, that's what he formulates trials in our lives for, to burn off the dross, that we could come forth pure as gold. The trials of life. See, God's not against you because he tries you. God's for you. God's doing something for you in your trial. You shouldn't ask God what or why in a trial. Ask him what. But most of us, because we don't know the scripture, we say, why me, God? You ought to say, what? Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Amen. We heard it in Sunday school this morning. We did. God teaches in trials. Suffering is a part of God's teaching plan. God humbles us and breaks us so he can use us. You say, well, why does God do that? The question ought to be is, why am I so proud? You see, and God has to do that. So trials, and then there's temptation, and then he gets down to this, what I want to hone in on, truth. Look, if you would, in verse number 18, he said, of his own will begat he us by the word of truth. Well, here we go. Now, James is getting ready. I mean, he is getting ready to give us some great teaching. He said, if you want your life to be fulfilled, if you want purpose and direction in your life, you need to get hooked into this word of truth. That's what James is getting ready to do. He's getting ready to lay a great foundation on how your life can be fulfilling, how our lives can find purpose. Yes, and in spite of all the chaos that's around us, in spite of all that's going on, instead of all that's taking place in our crazy mixed up world, James is saying, when you get hooked into this book right here, God's going to give you some direction, some purpose in your life. And so this is where he began. So let's look at it. He said in verse number 18, he said, I want to talk to you about the scriptures. And he said, did you know that it was of the scriptures in verse number 18 that your sin is forgiven? Now listen to me. Did you know that it's of the scripture, the word of God, the word of truth, that you are a child of God? Isn't that what he says in verse 18? He said, of his own will. Think about that. You say, well, God saved me because he felt sorry for me. That's not why God saved you. God saved me because I was a certain kind of person. That's not why God saved you. God saved you because it was his will to save you. Of his own will. Look at that. That's what the scripture says. Of his own will begat he us. Of his own will. Now what is he saying? Well, if you go back to verse number 17, he said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. He said, you know the person when you go out and you look in the day and you see that bright, radiant sun, and you go out at night and you see the moon and you see the sky full of stars, that God, the Father of lights now, is the Father of life. And so he transitions from wow, what a God in creation, to wow, what a God in salvation. Amen. He says, the Father of lights in verse number 17 has become the Father of life. He begat us, which means produce life. He produced life in us of his own will. Isn't that gracious of God to do that? Amen. Of his own will begat he us. How? With the word of truth. Aren't you glad that we have a book that has no error?
Amen.
Amen. This book has zero error, brethren.
Amen.
You say, well, I thought I found a mistake in the Bible. Thought's the right word. You found no error in this book. Amen. This is the word of God. It is impossible for God to make a mistake.
Amen.
And so we've been begotten by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. What are you saying, James? What do you think James is telling us here? Did you read that? He said that God, of his own will now, birthed you into his family. If you're saved in the grace of God, God, of his own will, birthed you into his own family that you could be the kind of first fruits of his creation. What do you think James is saying here? You know anything about the feast? The feast of the first fruits? Well, these Jews did. Amen. They knew that when the first harvest came, they would take a first portion of the first harvest and they would take it and they'd wave it before the Lord. And what they were doing is saying, God, we know that this is all of you. You gave this harvest, God. Listen, we sowed the seed. We tilled the soil. Listen to me now. We weeded the fields. But this harvest, without you, God, it wouldn't be possible. Wouldn't be possible. And so what James is saying here, there's nobody can be saved without the word of truth. You can't be saved without the God of heaven. Amen. It's God's way, brethren, or no way. That's the only way to be saved. It's the word of truth that breaks our hearts and breaks up that fallow ground and sows the seed of the gospel, and we respond and get saved in the grace of God. He said, that's all of God. That's all of God. That we might be a kind of first fruits. In other words, that we would wave it and say, God, we're just so thankful that you did this for us. Are you glad you're saved this morning? You ought to be so glad you're saved in the grace of God. God have mercy on us if we have a heart of ingratitude. Listen, I fear now, and I'm going to just go ahead and say this. I fear, and I want you to find yourself here. If you do not have a desire for the word of God, if you can take it or leave it, there's something wrong with your spiritual profession. Because the Bible says here in verse number 18 that with his own will begat he us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In other words, that we should thank God for being saved and that we should be an example. That we should be an example that there's a harvest. See, that first harvest was an example that there's harvest that's going to follow. That's right. And so he said, you should be that kind of creature. Now, verse 19, there's a lot of confusion about, and I'm going to clear it up today from the word of God, because it's talking about the scripture. The scripture. He mentions the word of truth. And so he said, you've been begotten by the word of truth. That's how you got saved. The same God that spoke the worlds into existence, the Father of lights, is the Father of life, and he lives in you. And the word of truth now, listen, the word of truth is what converted you, and he lives inside of you, and he's going to produce some things in your life. Now, what does God produce in the lives of we who have been saved? See, there's a lot of people. Listen, a lot of folks. They're saved up here, but they never have got it right here. They know the plan, but they don't know the man. You listening? Being saved is not just knowing how. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of folks that, listen, they have no desire to read the Bible. Can I tell you, the Bible over and over and over and over and over again says that when you get saved in the grace of God, you will desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If there's no desire in a person's heart to hear preaching, to hear teaching, to read the Bible, to worship God, to do what's right, to lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of the naughtiness of the flesh, hey, I'm telling you, there's something wrong in a person's heart. There's a disconnect. And so I pray to God, if there's no desire in your heart, that you'd be searching to find out, why is there no desire in my heart for the things of God? Because the Bible says it is just as natural as a baby wanting milk when you get saved to want the Word of God. Did you hear me? 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And so here's what he said. He said, wherefore? Wherefore? Yeah. Because the God that spoke the world into existence. Now listen. Wherefore? That's what this is saying. Because God who spoke the worlds into existence, the Father of lights now. And he went on to say in verse number 17, he said, there is no variableness, no variation, and he's not going to change. See, God's not going to change to meet your option. God's laid out the plan, and you come to God in God's terms. We live in a world where folks think, I just heard someone the other day say, you know, so you give somebody something, you give someone else something maybe a little better. Hey, that's unfair! Quit that fair stuff. Stop that. God does what he wants, and he's not going to ask us. Well, it's not fair for God to do this. God can do what he wants to do. Somebody say amen with me. Listen, we live in a day of softies. We live in a day of folks who do not understand what the Scripture says about the God of heaven. God does what he wants, to whom he wants, when he wants, how he wants. Why? He's God. He's God. And we treat God like he's a man, like God has to do it on our terms. Hey, that's not the way this works. You'll never know what it is to have liberty. You'll never know what it is to have that communion with God when you lay out stipulations of the way life is going to be. It doesn't work that way, brethren. It doesn't work that way. And so he said here in verse number 19, look at it. Wherefore? Because God is the Father of lights. Because he saved you. You know that power? Hey, I'm talking to you who were saved in the grace of God this morning. You do know. You hadn't forgotten where you were when God found you, right? You know the power that God exercised in your life when you were born again? That brought about a complete transformation in your life. That God, that power, listen to me now. That power. He said, wherefore? Because the power that spoke the world into existence is the same power that changed your life. That power, wherefore, because of that now, he said, I've got something that I'm going to charge you to do. You listening what he's saying? James is saying, I want you to listen up now. Wherefore? He said, I told you about the Father of lights. You look around, you see the creation, you say, wow, what a God. And then I told you about the Father of life. He begat you of his own will. Listen, God didn't do that because you were good. God did that because he's good. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Because that power that created, that power that redeemed, that saved you from sin, that changed your life, he said, that power is operative now in your life. And he said, because of that, look at what he said now. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, talking to Christians, let every man be swift to hear. Now, if you read after commentaries, that's why you got to get on what saith the Scripture. If you read after commentaries, commentary after commentary say, well, you know, the book of Proverbs says that you ought to, you know, not speak a whole lot. The more you speak, the more foolishness will be in your speech. You ought to listen more than you speak. That's not what James is saying. Why would James be talking about the God of heaven who created all things and who saved you, and then all of a sudden tell you, hey, listen, don't be talking a whole lot. You need to be listening. Why would he say that? What is James talking about here? What is James telling these folks about? Let's see. In verse 18, of his own will begat he us with, I want you to highlight this, the word of truth. That's the Bible. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. Right toward the end of it, it says that you ought to receive with meekness the engrafted word. That's the word of God. Amen. Look, if you would, in verse number 22. But be ye doers, what? Of the word. We're talking about the word of God. Look at verse 23. For if any be a hearer of what? The word. We're talking about the word of God. Look, if you would, in verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God. See, the text, the context in this text is the word of God. That's what the subject is, the word of God. And so when James said, you ought to be swift to hear, he's not talking about jokes. He's not talking about wisdom from men. He's saying, you ought to be swift to hear the word of God. The word of God's what's going to change my life. Can I tell you, the word of God is what's changed my life. And if I'm going to change anymore, I need to stay in this book. As a matter of fact, if you'll look, he elaborates a little bit on it here in verse number 25. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and I like this next phrase, and continueth therein. Amen. Stay in the word. Amen. Stay in the word. Amen. The word's what's going to make a difference in your life. Be swift to hear what? The word of God. Amen. The word of God. Go to Sunday school. Go to preaching. Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, listen to it. Listen to it. The word of God taught in any media source you can. Get in your study. Get along with God. Let God speak to you from the word of God. Amen. The reason our churches are dying is because there's people that are coming to church, but they're not engaged in the word of God. You see, the word of God builds a desire in our hearts for God. Say, preacher, I don't have a burden getting the word of God. Amen. Preacher, I don't have a sense of sin in my life getting the word of God. God reveals and exposes sin in our life from the word of God. Amen. We used to be a people of the book, we Christians. But now I fear that we become a people of anything but the book. We want entertainment. We want concerts. We want drama. You know what the early church did when they met? They heard the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And God would shake those places with the power of God. And the Spirit of God would fall on men. And the convicting power of God would fall on men. And folks would be saved. And they would, listen, they would, in fear of God, of the God of heaven, they would say, here I am, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Where's those men anymore? We've made much of everything but the Word of God. And so here, he said, I want to tell you what the Scripture says about the Scripture. He said, the Scriptures say that you ought to be swift to hear. Every opportunity you have, put yourself, avail yourself to the Word of God. I can't tell you how many folks, now listen, this is these, I'm not saying you're this way. I don't know what's in your heart. I've talked to people, said they were saved now. I've got witnesses here. This man was with me on one of the occasions. And we're listening to preaching. So what do you think about preaching? I can take it or leave it. Something wrong with your connection, sir. You know, I never wanted to hear preaching before I got saved. Before I got saved, I hated preaching. I didn't want to be around it. But ever since I've gotten saved in the grace of God, there's a hungering and a thirsting in my soul. I love preaching. I love Bible preaching and Bible teaching. I love this book now, you see. So, oh, preacher, I can take it or leave it. Something wrong somewhere. Something wrong somewhere. That's not what the preacher says. That's what this book says. It says you ought to be swift to hear. To hear just anything? That's not, listen, that's not the context of this scripture. James doesn't say, well, you know, because God is the father of lies. Look at it again, verse 19, wherefore? That just means because of. Because God, in verse number 17, is the father of lies. In verse 18, because he is he by his own will that begat you by the word of truth. Wherefore, in verse number 19, because there's a power. There's a power in the Word of God. What do you mean the Word of God in creation? He spoke the world into existence. That's the Word of God, amen. By the Word of God, the worlds were framed, Hebrews 1 says. He spoke the word. The word in creation. Wow, what power. The word in salvation. Wow, what power. And the word in your life, in my life, ought to be, wow, what power. How operative is the word of God? You see, what James is saying here in these next two verses, he's saying, we've got to cultivate some soil in our lives. The seed of God's word is going to be sown. But now it's our responsibility to create a heart that would be like fertile soil. You listening? Be swift to hear. You say, well, I'm here, aren't I, preacher? Are you hearing? Hearing is a trained art. It is. I read the story of a man who was walking down the street with a naturalist, a man who loved the outdoors. They were walking down the street in New York, crowded, noise, horns blowing, people talking, yelling, just a lot of noise, music in the background. And all of a sudden, that naturalist said, shh. He said, you hear it? And he said, hear what? He said, you hear that cricket? No, I don't. He said, I do. My ears have been trained to hear the cricket, the noise of the outdoors. He said, you know, you do train your ears, whether you realize it or not. And he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out a handful of change, and he said, watch this. And he threw it down, and none of those people that heard the cricket turned and looked at the sound of coins on concrete and started filling their pockets like, is that mine? Trained. If we're not careful, we'll sit under preaching, won't do a thing for us. Or we'll check a box. It's kind of like reading the Bible through in a year. Listen, if you do that, I'm glad for you. I'm happy for you. I'm not saying don't read your Bible through in a year. But if all you do is move your marker up at the end of that reading session, you're just a hearer of the word, not a doer. It hasn't made an impact on your life. See, I don't want to check boxes in my life. I want to be real, and I believe you do too. It's real. The word of God, brethren, it makes a difference in our lives. And the devil is trying to do everything he can to keep you away from this book right here. You know why? Look at it again in verse number 18. It's the word of truth. And he's a liar. Are you listening? He's a liar, and he wants you to believe his lies instead of know God's truth. Because he wants to deceive you and take you off the path. He wants you to get into the habit of checking boxes. Well, I went Sunday morning. My church for the week is done. Whew, man, I'm glad I got that out of the way. Checking boxes. Checking boxes. And then we wonder why prayers are not being answered. We wonder where the power of God's at. I'm not indicting anyone. I'm just saying, let's be careful. Let's be careful. James said, I want to tell you what the scripture says about the scripture. The scripture says it's the word of truth. And look at it there in verse number, if you would, in verse number 21. It says right there at the latter part of it, it's been engrafted. It's been engrafted in our hearts. There's been seed sown. It's like our heart is a field, is what James is saying. And if you don't weed some weeds, they're going to choke the seed. What do we do to weed the weeds? Well, number one, he said you're going to have to be swift to hear. You need to get as much of the word of God as you can. You listening? Because there's a lot of people after our ear. Everyone's after your ear. But it's not your ear that they're really after. It's your heart. So he said, be swift to hear. Can I tell you that seven times, find them. In the word of God, Jesus said, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear. Seven times. That's while he was here on earth. 8 times from heaven, Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." God wants us to hear what this book has to say.
Amen.
Why? It's what we're going to be judged by. This book has not only made the big difference in my life, it's what's going to make a difference moving forward.
Right.
This book, yours too. Yours too. The Word of God. He said, be swift to hear. But notice what he said right after that. He said, be swift to hear. But he said, be slow to speak. He said, you think you're still talking about the Word of God, preacher? I know he is. Because over in chapter number 3 and verse number 1, he kind of clarifies that. My brethren, be not many masters. You know what that word means? That's what Nicodemus called Jesus. Master, rabbi, teacher. He said, now listen, brethren. He said, don't you just start rattling off things you think you know about the Bible. You need to know what you believe. You need to know what this book says. Amen. That's why you need to be swift to hear. You better, like,
amen.
Well, I tell you, we got a bunch of Facebook preachers. I think they need to resign.
Right.
Resign your post. Until you know more about what this book says. I read a couple of this. Listen, I mean, it's sad. People saying that, well, our baby passed, and I hate that. But listen, I don't mean to break anybody's heart here. I just want to tell you. Babies don't graduate into angels when they die. That's not what the scriptures say. Your loved ones now, they don't gather around your table at Christmas, those that have gone on to heaven. They're around the throne of God, you see. So be slow to speak now. Be slow to speak. Know what this book says before you begin to speak it. This is very important to me. Listen, I don't just jump up here and say anything I want to say. I ask God almost every time I get up to preach. I would say every time, but I've missed some times. I just feel sure I have. God, help me not to misrepresent your word today.
Amen.
This is important stuff.
Amen.
There's people going to take what I say as final authority. They're not even going to check it by the word of God. And by the way, I don't encourage that.
Right.
I don't encourage that. You check the preacher.
Sure.
I don't care who it is. Somebody say amen now.
Right. Amen.
I don't want to misrepresent this book.
Amen.
And I don't believe you do. And James said it right here. He said, you be swift to hear now. You take in as much of the Word of God as you can. Because there's a world out here that hates the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you'll just turn over, just turn back just a page or two, and I'll close with this. I knew I wasn't going to get through this. I'm going to be in here a couple of Sunday mornings. Turn back to 2 Timothy. I want to show you what we're up against. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul, writing Timothy, said, I want you to know in the last days now, perilous times are coming. What's going to happen? Remember that word of truth I was telling you about over in James? James said the word of truth. He said, if you look down in verse number 7, he said, there's going to be people in the last days ever learning, but never able to come into the knowledge of that truth. Okay? Ever learning. They read after their professors, and they talk to their spiritual counselors, but they don't get into the truth. Look at the very next verse. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these. They also resist the truth. We'll get to that next week when James said, slow to wrath. Well, I tell you, you preach something that goes against the way somebody's living these days, you're going to get some hate mail.
Right.
Say, preacher, you ever get any hate mail? Go straight in the garbage. Folks say, well, you know, I file mine. I do too, in the same file. Not being mean. Listen, as long as I'm preaching the word now if you can come to me and say, now, preacher, I think you're a little off on this, I have an open door policy on that. But now, if you're just resisting the truth because I preached something that you didn't like, that went against your opinion, somebody say amen with me now. I'm just preaching the Bible here. You know, the Bible goes against our opinion sometimes.
Right.
Amen. The Bible exposes our sin. I said ours. Amen. Yes. I need that. See, I need the word of truth in my life. I need God to show me the error of my way. I need God to show me I'm full of pride. That's right. I need it, brethren. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it for your sake. We all need it.
Amen.
We need Bible preaching to show us that we're not what we think we are. We need God in our lives. We need this book to show us the error of our way and to teach us how to enter into a deeper communion with the God of heaven. We need the Bible.
Amen.
Look over in chapter 4, 2 Timothy. The latter part of verse number 3, he said that in those last days there's going to be people who, after their own lusts, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What are they going to do? They're going to turn away their ears from that word of truth. Is that what the book says, brethren?
Amen.
See, they're not going to want to hear the truth, because they have framed in their mind and in their heart what they feel is the truth. What they feel is the truth. But there's a big difference sometimes in what we feel is the truth and the truth. And I just want to stay straight, that's all. And I just want you to stay straight. I want you to stay in the place of blessing so God can bless you and grow you and help you and mature you and complete you and fulfill the purpose that He has in our lives. But if we get off track with the truth, you see, then James says it's not going to end well for us. And so we'll close with that. He said, be swift to hear. Are you swift to hear? When there's an opportunity to get under the teaching of the Word of God, do you just long for it and desire it and yearn for it, or could you take it or leave it? Is Sunday school too early for you? Or is a love for the Word of God? Listen, I'm not jumping on people who are not at Sunday school. I'm just asking some straightforward, honest questions. How much do we love the Bible, the Word of God? Are we swift to put ourselves under its teaching? Are we swift to get along with God and get into this book and read it and learn from it and grow by it? Is it a part of our day? Is it an integral part? Is it important to us what thus saith the Scriptures? Is it important to us? Or has church become a fellowship? I don't mean the name of the church like this one, but just when we go and we just kind of meet people and we kind of renew some acquaintances and we fellowship with one another. We maybe get a little warm feeling and feel good about a song or something. I don't know. I'm just saying, if we're not careful now, if we're not careful, many years ago, brethren, many years ago, well, I said I was done, but I just have to ask you to turn to one more place and then I'll be done. You can stand as you turn there. Nehemiah chapter 8. In Nehemiah chapter 8, there's something that happened. When God revealed this to me several years back, I've never gotten past it, brethren. Nehemiah chapter 8, I preached the message here out of Nehemiah chapter 8, and it's just done something for me. It's helped me to realize I have a vast responsibility as your pastor. As a child of God, I have a vast responsibility. Nehemiah chapter 8, the people, they gather there and by the gate, and they said, we want Ezra. Listen, in verse number 1 of Nehemiah chapter 8, we want Ezra to come. And they said, Ezra, look at this. Bring the book. Amen. Bring the book. Bring that Bible. Bring that Word of God. Bring the book. Why? We don't want to meet without the book.
Amen.
Where we're going to sing, I want the book. Well, we're going to have testimonies. Give me the book. I'm for testimonies. Amen. I love to hear what God is doing in our lives through the power of the book.
Amen.
Well, preacher, we're going to meet and do this and do that. Bring the book. Bring the book. They listen, and they listen attentively. Every one of them, they stood for hours. Read this sometime. And they wept, and they mourned, and they cried, and they said, God, have mercy on us. God, we're sinners. What would we be without the book? Brethren, you know where we'd be without the book.
Amen.
And yet, if we're not careful now, this book will find its way to a table or some place when we get home after a Sunday night service, maybe for some a Sunday morning service, and it won't be picked up again for some time now. And I'm not indicting anyone. I'm just saying, let's be careful. There's an enemy that wants to keep you away from the Word of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. The book. The Word of God. What saith the Scriptures about the Word of God? Well, as the pianist begins to play, the Scripture says about the Word of God that it's the Word of truth. And it's engrafted in our hearts. It's like a seed that's been sown. And we have a work to do to make sure that that seed is sown on the right kind of soil, you see. You know that parable? And I want my heart to be fertile. I want my heart to be right so that when the seed is sown, that the most that God could do with that truth in my life can be accomplished. I don't want to come with a bad attitude. I don't want to come with clogged up ears and a dirty heart. Not to hear the book. I want to be clean. I want my field to be weeded. I want my soil to be fertile so that when the seed of the engrafted word is sown, fruit can be produced.